Okay, folks, let's turn in our Bibles now to the book of Hebrews, please. Chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And we're going to read the first 13 verses of this chapter again. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as it as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, though his works were finished before the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news fail to enter because of disobedience, again he has spoken, as he has appointed, rather, a certain day today, saying through David so long afterwards, in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his own works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we bow now as we come to your word. We have already prayed that we might know your help and that we might worship you even in hearing your word. We pray, Father, that you'll give us attentive hearts this morning to listen, to inwardly digest the great truths of God, and that truth may indeed have a profound effect upon us, both now and in the days to come. So we pray that the Spirit of God will again move through his word to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, this morning the text that I want to use is that 12th verse, as you have noted, that we have been simply working our way through this great book of Hebrews. We come to this 12th verse. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And the title I give to the message this morning is The Nature and Purpose of God's Word. The Nature and the Purpose of God's Word. Now, as we have been reading through this book of Hebrews, in the third chapter and in the fourth chapter, we have this exhortation again and again to hear God speak to us. Please note the verses in Hebrews 3, 7 to 11. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked by that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways, as I swore they would not enter my rest. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Chapter 3, verse 14. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. Then yet again in chapter 4 and verse 6. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he has pointed a certain day. Today, saying through David, so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Now, as you look at those verses, you can learn many lessons from them. First of all, we can learn the wonderful lesson, and that is this, that God, the great holy, holy, holy God, is the God who speaks. And he's the God who speaks to sinful men and sinful women. He's a God who speaks when he will and to whom he will. And he says what he will to those he is speaking to. Now, the question that must be asked, surely, is how do we hear the voice of God? How do we hear the voice of God? If God speaks, and we're told here and warned not to harden our heart when we hear the voice of God speak to us, how do we hear that voice of God? You will agree with me, I'm sure, this morning, that this is a very, very important question. I know for sure, because I live in the same world as you do, that there are many in our world today who are looking to dreams for God to speak to them. They're looking for an out-of-body experience for God to speak to them. They're looking to hear the voice of angelic beings so that God may speak to them through those angels. The other day I went to the local bookshop, and I was really amazed and really somewhat disturbed by some of the material that I found there on the shelf, and some of the material that is being pumped out today in the name of Christianity and Christian faith. I saw side by side with the Word of God that material which quite frankly often contradicts the very book that it sits beside. It is true that sometimes God does speak to us through the experience of others. When we listen, for example, to the testimony of someone and they speak of the grace of God in their lives, yes, God can speak to our hearts as they minister God's word to our hearts. Sometimes he speaks in that way. He has, of course, not called us to seek the experience of others. You know, that is a great danger. We think to ourselves, well, that is the experience of someone else. I want that to be my experience. I want God to speak to me in that way. Oh, my dear friends, there's great danger in that. Even if these so-called encounters with another world were true, we are not encouraged at all to seek them. And I want to make that point very clear. It is so important that we understand that. Sometimes I listen with interest to what people have got to say about their experience. But I always seek to analyze it in the light of God's holy words. We can, without doubt, hear the voice of God speak to us. But we have got to be careful that we're not seeking it in this manner. The Apostle Paul had a wonderful experience once. And this is what he said. He says, if I must go on boasting, there is nothing to be gained. I know a man, he said, in Christ. He's speaking about himself. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. It was some experience. I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. Only God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except in weakness. And what we see here, my dear friends, is the Apostle Paul had an encounter in which he was caught up into the presence of God, but he won't tell us anything about it. He simply said, it happened. How then does God speak? Are we expecting God to do to us what he did to the Apostle Paul? Are we expecting to be caught up into the third heaven? Are we waiting to hear the voice of angels and angelic beings? Are we looking for an out-of-body experience so that we might encounter God? My dear friends, you will read God's word from cover to cover, and you will not find that is what this book teaches. This is what the Word of God teaches, and we saw it in Hebrews 1. Long ago, many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom he created the world. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. He is appointed heir of all things. Does this mean that we expect the Lord Jesus to speak to us in an audible voice? I don't think so. That's not the word. What the Word of God tells us. Luke says this in Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he gave commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he has chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking to them about the kingdom of God. And Peter says this: we didn't follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne by him and by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice, born from heaven, for we were with him in the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star appears in your heart. And then he goes on to say this: and we have the prophetic word fully confirmed, to which you do well to pay attention. Listen, my dear friends, what the writer is saying. We have the prophetic word. What has God done? In the past, he has spoken through his prophets. In these last days, he has spoken through his Son. He has given to us the holy word of God. And as we come to the word of God, it is there that God speaks to us through his holy word. Remember what Paul said to Timothy in 3 Timothy verse 16 and 17. Listen carefully again. All scripture is breathed out by God. Can I say that again? All scripture is breathed out by God. So the book that you hold in your hand today is a book that has been breathed out by God. Is that not amazing? Is that not absolutely amazing? Is it not one of the most amazing things that you've ever heard in all your life? That the book that we have, that is so common in our Western world, is a book that has been breathed out by God. And he goes on to say it is profitable. He has given it to us for our profit. It's been given for our teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Please, my dear friends, listen to this verse. It's been given for our reproof, for our correction, for our teaching, and our pursuit and our training in righteousness. Why? that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That the man of God may be complete, that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. Do we need some outside voice to speak with us? Do we need an angelic being to speak to us? Oh, my dear friends, each time we open the Word of God, what happens? God speaks to us. He speaks to us through His Word. He trains us. He reproves us. He corrects us. And He enables us to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Remember to listen again to Paul's warning. Let no one disqualify you. In Colossians 3:18-19 says, insisting on false humility and worshipping of angels, going into details about visions, puffed up without reason by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head from which the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. You see, all of these verses are saying to us exactly the same thing. Saying, listen, consider the amazing treasure that you hold in your hand. It is a book that has been breathed by God, and it's been given because He is a God of love, and it's been given for our learning. Yes, it will chastise us, it will reprove us, but it will instruct us in righteousness. And it will instruct us in holiness. I am convinced that this is one of the truths that need to be repeated over and over and over and over again in today's world. And that we need to encourage people to become students of the Word of God. We realize that there are many books written, many biographies written, much great literature has been written, and much of it will be great benefit to us. But my dear friends, if we're wanting to hear the voice of God, we must listen to God's Word. Because God's Word alone is the way in which God speaks to our hearts. That's why we have preaching and teaching in church. That's why whenever we come to preach, what is the first thing we do? We open the Holy Scriptures. And we teach from them. Now please listen to our text for today. Let us therefore, Hebrews 4:11-12, let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may be befallen by the same sort of disobedience. And then the Word of God is described. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Let me quote that in another version, which comes even clearer. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our inmost thoughts and desires. We are taught here at least three truths about the Holy Scriptures, and I want to look at those. Firstly, it teaches us that the Word of God is alive and powerful. Do you see that in the text? For the Word of God is living and active. Living and powerful. Please think about that for a moment. What does that mean? What is the Holy Spirit? Now remember, it's the Holy Spirit. Because it's God-breathed. So it is the blessed Holy Spirit. It is the third person of the Trinity who is telling us that he has inspired men to write the whole of Scriptures. And that the Scripture is living and active. How sad it is to see how people often consider the Word of God, often treating it just as another book, and reading it just like another book. Oh, my dear friends, it's such a tragedy whenever we do that. We must approach it, realizing that God has given it and he is speaking to us in every chapter, every verse, and every line. So that's why we must treat it with reverence and respect. Let me remind you of some of the things that the Holy Scripture says of itself. The psalmist says this in Psalm 119. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I have never forgot your precepts, for by them you have given me life. The psalmist says again in Psalm 133, verse 6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their hosts. And so the same God who spoke the world into existence is the same God that speaks to us through the book he has given. Paul says this, and we also do thank God continually for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. And what the apostle is doing this, he's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, I'm delighted. Whenever you heard the word of God, you accepted it, not as a word for me, but as what it really was, a word from God. And through that, you believe. Paul says this regarding the great gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. So each time we go out to the markets, or go out to the street, or you speak to your friend in the office, or over a cup of coffee, when you open the Word of God, whenever you bring the truths of God's Word to the people, you're bringing to them that which is all-powerful and that which is the very dynamite of God. Oh, I wish I could preach this the way I would want to. Help us to understand how vital and how wonderful is this book, the treasure which God has given us. It says here that it is active and powerful. The Word of God is active and powerful. So let us read it, my dear friends. Let's inwardly digest it, as our forefathers have said. Let us memorize it. Let us declare it. Let us print it. Let us post it. Let us proclaim it. Let us defend it. Let us delight in it. And let us live out our lives in accordance to it. And let us shout it from the housetops. Sometimes people say to us as churches, well, should you churches not be doing this, or should you not be doing that, or should you not be saying this or saying that in today's society? We must respond by saying, we are guided by God's word, by the authority of God's word. God has taught us what we should do, how we should live, what we should proclaim. Paul says to those in Corinth, when I came to you, I didn't come to you with man's wisdom, but I came to proclaim the whole word of God. He says, we preach Christ and Him crucified. We proclaim the whole counsel of God, and it's all centered in Christ and His holy word. But look what else it says here about this. It says that it is sharp and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, what exactly does that mean? What does it mean? Well, if we look into God's word, we can see in the book of the Revelation, when there is that vision that John had of the Lord, what did he have coming out of his mouth? He had the sword coming out of his mouth. And he's saying the word of God is sharp and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And my dear friends, whenever we can come to grips with that, it's a great help to us in today's world as we seek to live for Christ. Paul says this, or rather the writer to the book of Acts, Luke, said this about what happened here in Acts 2. Whenever Peter said, let the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And this is the verse I want you to note. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? You see, as the Apostle Paul proclaimed the Word of God, and if you read that sermon, you will see that he's preaching from the Word of God. And the outcome is this, that the Word of God cut to the very hearts of those who listen. The Word of God is spoken of in many different ways. In Jeremiah 23 and 29, it says this, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. It's like a fire. It is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. The psalmist says this, your word is a lamp to my feet, and it is a light to my path. It's a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. As I read it, as I study it, as I meditate it upon it, as I inwardly digest it, as I work it out in my life, it guides me through life. It's a light to my path. And here in this passage, in this text, it says that it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow. You see, the word of God is like that instrument that the doctors use whenever they want to cut you open. That which the surgeon uses. And we need to think about this for a moment. I remember back now, 14 or is it 15 years ago now, when I had heart surgery. I was feeling perfectly okay, wondering why I had to go to hospital. But the doctors convinced me that I needed to have my heart fixed. And you know, to cure me, they nearly killed me. To cure me, they nearly killed me. It's true. You speak to anyone who goes through heart surgery and they will say the same thing. Let me explain. I went in there, perfectly okay, doing what I normally do, preaching and doing all the things, and I go in there. And the doctor takes the knife. I don't know what he took to cut through my chest. I didn't ask him. But he cut right through my chest, my breastbone. He pulls it wide open, or pulls it open as far as he needs to. And he reaches right in. And he takes my heart in his hands. I'm asleep, thank God. In weakness and sickness, I wake up. Helpless, barely able to move. You see, my dear friends, I was in the hand of a skilled surgeon. I had a choice to make whenever I went into that hospital in Belfast, Northern Ireland. I had a choice to make, and it was this. Either I put my heart in the hand of this surgeon, or I live in weakness, because they told me that would happen. I would live in more pain, and it would probably result in death. They told me I was like a time bomb about to go off. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because as I sat in my study and thought about this text of this word of God being sharper than a two-edged sword, I realized that here we are called to let God's word do its work in our hearts. Let God's word do his work in our hearts. What does that mean? That means that we become students of the Word of God, that we read it daily, that we carefully meditate upon it, and we allow the Holy Spirit to do the work of surgery in our hearts continually. That's really what it's all about. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. And we with all with unveiled face behold the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now why am I quoting that text? And this text is saying, as we as God's people allow the Word of God to do its surgery in our hearts, We are growing in grace. We are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. All scripture is God-breathed, and it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete for every good work. You see, the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is powerful. But we must allow the Spirit of God to do His work. You see, I could have gone into the Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast, and I could have sat there in the bed, and I could have listened to everything that the doctor told me, and they come in and they draw a diagram and they tell you what they're going to do with it, and you get paler and paler. You say, I'm going to do this and this and this and this. And then the time came when I had to sign a paper that if I died in the process, they weren't responsible. But they tell me, this is what they're going to do. I could have looked at that, and I could have looked at this surgeon and said to him, you're away in the head. I have no intention of doing that. I've no intention of allowing you to come and carve me up. I could have done that. And I would probably be dead by now. You see, my dear friends, that's how people often come to the Word of God. They come and they hear what the Word of God has got to say. They say, ah, no way I'm going to do that. That's not my intention. We're to seek first the kingdom of God, the Lord says. We come to the Word of God, and it tells us that we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And we look at that and say, no way, to God. See, my dear friends, if we think like that, I think we must honestly ask ourselves the question, are we really Christians? Are we really children of God? Because just as I said to my surgeon those years ago, okay, my heart's in your hand. You take me, you do what you want. And I sign the paper. So, my dear friends, as you and I open the Word of God, we should open it with the very same sentiments, with the very same word. Say, my dear Lord, I'm now coming to your word. You tell me that you speak to me through your word. Let this book live to me, Lord. I want to hear what you've got to say to me about it. And I want this book to do to me according to your will. I am submissive. I am willing. I am ready. Because I know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Finally, and I must finish, it exposes the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You see what it says? It's alive and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And then it exposes the thoughts and the intentions of the hearts. Listen to the text. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You see, what the Word of God does, my dear friends, whenever we read it, that's why it really challenges us, because it discerns the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. It exposes our heart so that we can see how sinful it is in the sight of a holy God. So we need to be ready for that. We need to be ready to be shocked by the sinfulness of our own hearts. Remember what the psalmist says. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Is that our prayer? Search me, O Lord. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the way everlasting. You see, my dear friends, as we come to this book, we must read it with our hearts open and bare to Him. We must never come to this book with any conditions of our own, but expose our hearts. Say, Lord, I want to know what I need to do in order to walk close with You. I need to know what to do in order that I might live for You. I need to know what I need to get rid of so that I might live for You. As the wee chorus goes, look them out, get them gone. All the little rabbits in the fields of corn. Envy and jealousy and malice and pride. These must never in my heart abide. That's why often people's hearts are broken and they listen to sermons or they read the word and they weep as they do. Why? Because they're exposing their hearts to the word of God. It's only those who love the Lord Jesus will do that. In conclusion, let me say this. Perhaps there is some here this morning who says, but you know, Alfie, the problem with me is I'm a very poor scholar. Or I'm a very poor reader. I find it very hard to understand when I read. I have limited understanding of theology. I admire these people with their great theological thoughts. But I'm just a simple believer. I'm no theologian. Let me give you the good news, my dear friends. I don't read anywhere in this book that you are to be a great theologian. But I do read in this book that you're to be a scholar of the Word of God with whatever ability God has given to you. And God is no respecter of persons. The psalmist says, the unfolding of your word gives light. I love this. It imparts understanding to who? To the simple. It imparts understanding to the simple. So you do not, as a Christian, sit in the sideline and admire those who are great theologians and those who can spend a night and day talking about theology and say, they're way up here and I'm down here. It could be the opposite way around. We need to understand this, my dear friends. Psalmist also says Psalm 19 and 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. This is the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. I love that. It revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Making wise is simple. Why do I emphasize this morning? Because I've been in the pastorate long enough to know that there are many people who feel so inferior to others. and think to themselves, I can never be the Christian that man or that woman is. I would say this honestly from the depths of my heart. I'm sure it is true in my life. I've met many, many people over the years. Some of the people who stand tall and strong, giants in the faith, were people who many would declare as being simple. Men and women who love God's word, who struggle to read it, but in reading it, the Spirit of God imparts the truths and they allow the surgeon to do his work in their hearts. And they stand tall. Not many wise, not many mighty are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the mighty, and the things that are not to bring to naught the things that are. Oh, what a treasure we have in the Word of God. This Word reveals to us the very nature and purpose of God. This book makes us wise to salvation. This book is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. This book equips us in the service for God. This book molds us and makes us after His will. This book is more reliable than all other books that are put together. Through this book, God speaks to us. What are we told? That we are not... we have got to be careful if we hear the voice of God not to harden our hearts. It is in the rebellion. Oh, my dear friends, as I close, can I please appeal to you? I don't care where you are. I don't care how young you are in your faith. I don't care how weak you might feel in yourself. I appeal to you on behalf of God's Word, and as I'm guided by the Spirit of God, to become more and more and more the students of this book. And allow it to live to you. Why? Because it is the Word of God, and it is living and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and of marrow, and the discerning of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. What a book. And as you read it, sing in your heart that great old hymn, "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mould me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yield it. I'm still." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. All of us, Lord, feel as though we neglected. I've been challenged by it again this morning. Oh, Lord, help us to do what your word tells us to do and to be what your word tells us to be. Help us, Lord, just as we put our lives in the hands of our surgeons, to put our hearts in your hand so that you might make us what we ought to be, and that our lives might bring great glory and honor to the great God of heaven. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.